Well, before the events in Charlottesville, President Trump made some news on the opioid epidemic, saying last week that he intends to declare a national public health emergency in response to the rising death toll from opioids. It's a step that a handful of states have already taken, including Arizona. Will Stone from Here and Now contributor KJZZ in Phoenix reports.
Steve still has trouble making sense of his slide into addiction, how the occasional pill turned into 5-10 a day.
The fact that it did is still kind of blindsiding, just because I honestly drank seldom as a teenager, but never really did anything else.
It began toward the end of college for the now 26-year-old. We're not using his real name because he's worried about losing his job. His partner had a spinal condition and would share his painkillers. When they ran out, they'd look elsewhere.
We were going through a lot, and so just trying to sustain that was very tough.
That lasted for years, Steve says, losing friends, lying to each other.
We didn't have anything. You know, we had taken out title loans on our cars, and we had no credit, we had no money.
Steve's story has become all too familiar as the opioid crisis has turned into a public health threat.
It's a problem that knows no bounds. It affects men and women, young and old, rich and poor.
That's Arizona Governor Doug Ducey during his most recent State of the State address. The true extent of Arizona's crisis became painfully clear months later when the state released new numbers showing nearly 800 people died from overdoses in 2016, almost twice the number as in 2012. So the governor declared a public health emergency, a strategy that begins with tracking who's dying and where and how.
Our opioid death data can lag a year behind.
Dr. Kara Chris directs the Arizona Department of Health Services. She's circling a crowded room filled with data specialists, poring over maps and charts.
What we're trying to do is reframe this from an addiction stigma, they're dead, we can move on, to a, this is a health condition and it needs to be dealt with just like every other public health issue.
Unlike an infectious disease outbreak, the state's healthcare system is not well equipped to track opioid deaths in real time. A recent University of Virginia study found Arizona has been significantly underreporting overdose deaths. The new declaration requires providers to report overdoses and deaths immediately to the state. In the first 6 weeks, the state puts the death toll at more than 200. Once they get enough data, Chris says the department can fashion a comprehensive response. But she admits this opioid crisis is different from others.
Things that, you know, you rapidly respond to, you can control, and then it comes to an end. The opioid epidemic is something that we've been dealing with for a long time.
Just ask her predecessor, Will Humble. It was during his early days as director of health services. Humble was on the elevator chatting with the guy who ran statistics when he mentioned.
He said, oh, yeah, we just reran the statistics, and it was really, we were surprised to see that more people in Arizona died from opiate overdoses than from car crashes. I mean, this is back in 2010.
Humble, who now leads the Arizona Public Health Association, says that's when it hit him. He had the agency put together guidelines for physicians when prescribing opioids, but most people weren't paying attention.
You know, it was like we were shouting into the wind and we weren't, you know, it just didn't capture the attention of policymakers and elected officials.
That's finally changing, but there's still no extra funding tied to the crisis, although Arizona does have several federal grants. Humble says that's not necessarily the point of this declaration. Instead,
focusing those areas in state government that have leverage to mobilize their policy, not necessarily funding, but change their policy around opiate prescribing.
He says one example is the governor's directive to Arizona's Medicaid program, limiting the first prescription to 7 days. And Humble expects other efforts to come later and may require new laws and more money. But at least the declaration creates a sense of urgency.
I'd even go one step further, and I'd say that that might be the major benefit, actually.
Dr. Michael Barnett teaches at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Massachusetts was the first state to declare a public health emergency because of the epidemic. Since then, others have followed. Mostly, this has meant increasing access to the opioid reversal drug naloxone and getting more data. And that's a start, Barnett says. After all, this isn't something you can just contain like other emergencies.
There's a much more limited capacity for, you know, extreme government intervention to necessarily make a difference here.
But it does chip away at one of the most intractable problems, stigma, as Steve, who's now in recovery, remembers.
I always thought, you know, addicts are just terrible people who make terrible decisions, who just aren't strong enough. Being through it, like, yeah, it's different. It's totally different. So,
and so is his life now. He's got a car and a job, but as overdoses skyrocket, Steve's story may still be a rare one. For Here and Now, I'm Will Stone in Phoenix.